Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible, God gives us two definitions of sin. In our last program, we talked about the first definition, which is, sin is the transgression of God's law. In today's program, we're going to talk about the second definition of sin. Do you know the second definition of sin? The second definition of sin could be stated, sin is the transgression of your conscience. Doing anything that violates your conscience is a sin. Do you know where to find the second definition of sin? Because again, these are not my words, these are God's words. Let's read it in Romans chapter 14 and verses 21 through 23. This is in Romans chapter 14 and verses 21 through 23. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Then have it to yourself before God. Blessed is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But the one doubting, if he eats, he has been condemned, because it is not of faith. And all that is not of faith is sin. Here you have it. All that is not of faith is sin. In other words, if you do something and you don't believe that it's right, then you're sinning. It might be okay to do, but because you believe that it's not good to do, and if you still do it, you're violating your conscience, and that's the same as sinning. And we're going to explain this a little bit more. And this particular example that we're going over is where a person knew that they could eat various meats, and there were other people who felt like they should not eat any meat at all. And so the one person who knew that they could eat meat, they were just eating it and doing it in front of the person that felt like it wasn't good to eat meat. And the point is, we don't want to put that in people's face, because then maybe it's going to cause this other person who thinks that it's not good to eat meat, maybe they're going to go ahead and eat the meat anyway just because you're doing it, even though they're not convicted that it's okay to eat the meat. They're convicted that it's not good to eat the meat, but because you're doing it, they say, well, maybe I'll go ahead and do it. And then that person is violating their conscience. So we really shouldn't put that kind of a stumbling block in front of a person. If that person feels like we should not eat meat, then when we're around that person, have respect for the person. Don't eat that meat. You can have faith before God knowing that it's okay to do it, and because you know that it's okay to eat the meat, go ahead and eat it. You're not violating your conscience. It's no problem. To you, it's not a sin to do it. But to this person, it is a sin to do it, because they believe that it's wrong. And if they believe that it's wrong, then to them it's wrong, even though it's okay in God's eyes. To them it's wrong. So if they do something that's wrong, they are sinning. Now in James chapter 4 and verse 17, we find the same principle, that transgressing our conscience is a sin. This is in James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So this is really the flip side of what we were just talking about. In the first example, it's a person who thinks it's wrong to do something, and yet they go ahead and do it. And in this case, it's someone who knows that they should do something good, and yet they don't do it. To that person, it's also sin, because they are also going against their conscience. They're sitting there saying, I know that I should do this. I know that I should do this. I know that I should do this. It's right. And yet they still don't do it. To that person, it is sin, because they are basically saying they're not going to do what is good. So they're by default saying they're going to allow something bad to happen, which the bad might be them not helping out a person who is in need. So in effect, they've sinned against that person, because they have not shown love to that person. And as we saw in our last program, when we said that sin is the transgression of God's law, we saw from God's own word that the motivation behind keeping the law is love. There are 10 commandments, that's the letter of the law, but the spirit behind the law, which is a spirit of love, that is loving God and loving our neighbors, that's the motivation behind keeping the law. So we can keep the law. The 10 commandments comprise the law, and then there's 2 great commandments, loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. We can keep those commandments, and that's good. That's the spirit of the law. That's what we need to do. But also, we can violate our conscience, and that's what we're talking about focusing on today, is transgressing our conscience. And you can do it in 2 ways. One, you can believe that something is wrong and you do it anyway. Or you can believe that something is right and you don't do it. Either way, it's violating the conscience. And the conscience is extremely important, because our conscience is in effect what God uses to help us to feel what is right and what is wrong. And so even if, again, let me be clear, even if God says that something is okay, if a person is not convicted that it's okay, if their conscience has not been brought to that point where they feel that it's okay, if their conscience is thinking that it's wrong, then for them it is wrong, and they should not do it. You should never do something that violates your conscience. You should only do what you are convicted of according to your conscience. Now, hopefully and prayerfully, God has led you to the point through His Holy Spirit where your conscience lines up with God's will. And if that's what happens, your conscience lines up with God's will, in other words, your conscience says the same thing that God says, then that's perfect. That's where we want to be, is our conscience being convicted according to the same thing that God says. That's when we're in line with God and doing His will. So the conscience is extremely important. So if you go against your conscience or transgress your conscience, it's just as bad as transgressing God's law. Again, after all, God created us with consciences so that He could convict our consciences to do what is right and to not do what is wrong. Now notice how God speaks about the conscience in various scriptures. In Romans, the 2nd chapter, in verses 13 through 15, we'll read that it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law that will be justified. All right, this is in Romans, the 2nd chapter, in verses 13 through 15. So people who hear the law all day long, they can hear it, but God's not interested in somebody just hearing the law and then not doing it. God wants you to hear the law and then to be a doer of the law. That's what God is looking for. God wants people who want to keep His law and who do keep His law. All right, that, let's be clear. That's what God is saying. You should be a law keeper. If people say that you're a legalist because you're keeping the law, say thank you. That's a compliment. I'm glad you said that, because God says that it's not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. If you want to be right with God, and that's what this word justified means, then you should be doing the law. You should be keeping the law. Now, I'm not saying that you should be a legalist in the sense that you think your keeping of the law is going to earn you salvation. That's a totally different story. So you are not saved by works, but you are saved to work. You are saved to do the works of the law, because the works of the law, if you do them according to the spirit of the law, which is loving God and loving people, then you are fulfilling the royal law. That's what God wants you to do. So let's go on, continuing in Romans, the 2nd chapter. It says, for when the nations who do not have the law, so they're not a hearer of the law because they don't even have the law, for when the nations who do not have the law do by nature the things of the law, then these, not having the law, become a law unto themselves. So see, what it's saying is they're not convicted based on what they heard from the law of God, so they don't know that they're lining up with the law of God, But by nature, because they're being convicted of something in their conscience, they become a law unto themselves. Their conscience becomes the law. And in this case, they're doing by nature the things of the law. Their natural things that they are doing do line up with the laws of God. And so it goes on to say, these people show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and the thoughts between one another accusing or even excusing one another. So, again, in other words, they see something and they say, wait a minute, we should not do that. Or they say, yes, it's okay to do that, because they've arrived at a conclusion and they are convicted by their conscience, so that conviction of their conscience becomes their law. And in this particular example, God is saying it's better for people who haven't even heard the laws of God, if they follow the laws of God because their conscience leads them to do that, that's much better than the people who have heard the law, they know what the law says, and yet they don't do it, because they are being hypocritical. They are sinning as transgressors against the law, where these people are not sinning because they're not transgressing their consciences. So conscience is very important in God's eye. And a second testimony to this can be found in Romans the 13th chapter and verses 1 through 7. This is Romans 13 and verses 1 through 7. And here we have Paul talking about how the governments of this earth have been ordained by God to administer laws. Now, he gives the example of paying taxes specifically and saying that we should pay taxes not only because we fear that if we don't pay taxes that the government is going to throw us into prison or exact some kind of punishment. Now that's true, and so you should pay taxes, but that shouldn't be the motivation for doing it, just to avoid penalty. What Paul is saying under the inspiration of God is that we should pay our taxes for conscience sake, because we believe that it's the right thing to do. Now, why is it the right thing to do? It's the right thing to do because this government, which has been ordained by God, God has allowed it to exist, and God has put it in place to put into effect laws and to allow for punishment to be there for anyone who transgresses law, because God wants to teach us that we should be doing the right thing. So for conscience, we say this is a law. It doesn't violate any of God's laws. It's not in direct contradiction to God's law. So it's okay to follow this because it's the law of the land, because I live here. For conscience sake, I should do it. I should do the right things for the right reasons. Okay? So conscience, again, is extremely important. And then the last scripture we want to turn to is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this is verses 1 through 2. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 2. Here it says that the Holy Spirit says clearly that in the last days some people will abandon the faith by following deceitful spirits, the teaching of demons, and the hypocrisy of liars. And these people have their consciences seared by a hot iron. If you've ever ironed something and you've just left it on that garment too long, it sears it so that it's burned so badly that you can't even recognize the pattern on it. That's how God says we should view our consciences, that if we have to avoid having our consciences seared by doing the wrong thing over and over again. We have to protect our conscience by always doing the right thing.